Let's go with the word this morning. We're looking in this series, off-roading. The idea behind it is simply, let's find some folk, and we're only going to do this for a couple more weeks, that are in our Bible that we don't know a whole lot about, and I'm asking the Lord just to let me study them and reveal things to me about them that can change my life. You put them there for a reason. Romans 15:4 tells us that these things are written in our Bible. God put them there for our learning, for our growing, for us to have hope. Amen? So that's what we're doing. We're going off-roading. We're going to find us some hope and how to live. Amen? So let's look at it. Last week was Jonathan. Amen? Don't you think last week's message on Jonathan, don't you think Jonathan's a great guy? Amen? How to be a true friend? Don't you think a lot of us can use help in that area of our life? Absolutely. When I was studying last week, I felt like a dog. I felt like a terrible friend. After I preached it last week, I was like, oh, man, I'm a terrible friend. I got all this kind of work to do. And one of my best friends, his anniversary is coming up this week. And I'm like, I just can't send him a fruitcake. This is going to cost me. I already know it. But friendship ought to cost us. Amen? If we really love somebody, give to your friends, man. Love your friends. Yesterday, being out of the water, stuck. It was amazing. I just got a new phone, so I didn't have all the people's numbers in there. I'm out there with no numbers. I had called Rod, so I knew Rod has every number in the book. So I called him, but it's amazing. Before long, throughout the day, I had all these calls coming in from different friends of mine, wanting to know if I was all right. One charter captain, he couldn't help me, but man, he wanted to make sure he'd come get me right now, even if it's, you know, if anything he could do. But it made me feel good to have friends. Amen? Let's go with a new message. There he is, Caleb. Amen? Caleb. Caleb. A bulldog for God. Can you say that with me? Caleb. One more time. Caleb. A bulldog for... You might be wondering, why have I called him that? You're going to see here in just a minute. Caleb is a what? He's a bulldog for... That's what I want to be. I want to be a bulldog for God. And you'll see why I want that now when you look at this man's life. So hang in there. You ain't going to sleep on me, are you? Come on. Here we go. Let's look at the message this morning. A bulldog for God. Romans 15:4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our what? Learning. How about just little things? How about people that are just, they're mentioned in your Bible and they don't get a whole lot of limelight? You think God put them there for a reason? Absolutely. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have what? Hope. So let's go to the Bible. Let's go to the Old Testament. Numbers 13. And let's find out a little bit about Caleb. But to learn about Caleb, you've got to learn about some other people as well. So we've got to set the stage and see what we can find. Numbers 13, 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, everyone a ruler among men. So this is how this story of Caleb starts in your Bible. So Moses sent men, 12 of them. Say 12 with me. 12. He sent 12 men of the 12 tribes to spy out the land of Canaan. He said unto them, you go up this way, southward. You go up to the mountain. You see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, whether there's few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad. What cities that be that they dwell in, whether in tents or strongholds. What the land is, whether it's fat or lean, whether there be woods or not. Be of good courage. Bring of the fruit of the land. Bring me back something of that land. Now the time was a time of the first ripe grapes when they went. So they went up, and they searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab as men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south. They came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol. And they cut down from thence a branch of one cluster of grapes. Now watch this. And they bare it between two of them on a staff. And them some big old honking grapes right there. Now I'm talking to you. Amen? Are you telling me the grapes were so big that when they cut them down, they one guy had a stick here and they got, when we moving? That's what I'm talking about. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. How many have never had a pomegranate? You've never eaten a pomegranate. You ought to eat one. How many have never eaten a pomegranate? You've never eaten one. You need to go eat one. Find them at Publix. cut it open, sat on the back porch, picked them up, and amen, pomegranates. Good. You're going to like them. Here we go. The place was called the Brook Eskel because of the cluster of grapes that the children of Israel cut down from thence, and they returned from searching of the land after how many days? 40 days. So it's a thorough search. Moses gave them a big command. Okay? Let's see what happens. God said, go search the land that I will give unto the children of Israel. He also said, take 12 men representing the 12 tribes of Israel and go out and search the land. So that's what happened here. How many of you, be honest with me, you knew this part already? How many of you didn't know this part so far? Good. Here we go. I like talking to people that don't know something sometimes. I said that earlier this morning. So what happened? Here we go. Numbers 13, 26 and 27. So now the men are coming back and giving a report. And they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and they brought back word to them, and unto the congregation they showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, we came unto the land whither you sent us, and say this part with me, and help me, surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the... All right. We're learning. Sounded like it was just like God said, doesn't it say? Wow. They brought back word and they brought back fruit. Look at it. Unbelievable. It surely does flow with milk and honey, and here's the fruit. Just like God said. You know, God says a lot in His Word. If you'd read it, you'd get it. Thousands of promises that are yours. Yet something will happen in our life and we'll despair. God said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God says, you can do all things through me. He says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That's the Word of God. That's what the Bible teaches. Y'all know that? Yes or no? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? Won't. The Word of God has so many promises for us. And just as He told the children of Israel, wow, look at the fruit. It flows with milk and honey. Pop it up. Caleb, he's a bulldog for God, but I don't get to talk about Caleb yet. Keep looking. I got to talk about these suckers. 10 toy poodles. Now, if you have a poodle, that's your problem. That is not my problem. Okay? And I think it's okay for you to have a poodle. I just wouldn't put a lot of confidence in that little sucker. Amen? Now, if you're looking for a yippy bark, you bought the right dog. Amen? If you bought a dog that you can do its toenails, well, you bought the right dog. Amen? But if you're looking for protection, you bought the wrong dog. 10 toy poodles. That's what I call the 10 men who brought a bad word back and discourage the people. Listen to their yippy barking. I've met a lot of these people in my life, being in church work. Church can be full of folks that just run their mouth. Yippy, bark, 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 bark. I hope this message will help us with that today. I don't want that here at this place. I told a dear sweet lady of God back here, she told me about a testimony. God's blessed her and helped her, and she's alive today and gave credit to Jesus for it. I loved it. But I told her I love this church because we have a great spirit here. I don't have problems with you people. Did y'all know that or not? I don't have problems with you people. You got problems, I got problems, but I don't have problems with you people. That's because we got a good spirit. We get along. Y'all understand? Yippy barking is crap. Excuse me. We don't want that here. I want some big, bad bulldogs for God. That's what I want. Not some yippy barking. Some little poodles. Amen? Amen. Come on, help me now. Here's what happened. Was there fruit like God said? Yes or no? Yeah. Did it flow with milk and honey like God said? Yes. Look at that word right there. Say it with me. Never the what? Never the... One more time. Never the... Hate that word. After this. Nevertheless. the people, be strong that dwell in the land. Their cities are walled, and they're very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That was a race of people that were bigger than everybody else, giants. The Amalekites dwelt in the land to the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwelt in the mountains. The Canaanites dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So, what do we see here so far? Look at it. 10 toy poodles. They brought back an evil report. Okay? They minimized. They made very little out of the good, and they made a lot out of the bad. I want you to get that. We've got to see that again. They made very little out of the what? And they made a whole lot out of the what? That is an evil report. Next time, I want you to check yourself out. When you drive by our property, do you make a lot out of the good that's going on, or do you focus on what ain't been done? If you focus on what ain't been done and that's your focus instead of thanking God for what has been done, see, that's an evil report. How's your church going? Well, you know, it's not going that good because, you know, they ain't got stuff done yet, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I don't like that, man. That's God. He'll cut his blessing off from us if we talk like that. Are you hearing me today? Amen? It's not any new news now. Jason and Kristen are doing our music, and they're helping us. Y'all understand that? Say, yes or no? Okay, yeah, and we ought to thank God for them. Or are you going to focus on the bad because they're not like Jimmy and like we used to have it? I'm just going to be honest with you this morning. Are y'all listening? Yes or no? You're going to focus on the good, or you're going to focus on the bad? You're going to focus on being pot, and I'll put you on the spot. I'm sorry, you're sitting right up front. You should have sat up in the back. Do you understand? Or do you understand what I'm saying? This is true in your workplace. Oh, we got a new principal, or we got a new this, or we got a new administration director, we got a new, you know, whatever, athletic director. Got a new coach, got a new this. Can you focus? A good report is when you focus and you put more of your focus on the good than on the bad. Y'all listening, yes or no? That doesn't mean we can't fix. It doesn't mean we can't improve. Amen? Yes or no? But we don't focus like that. And if you do, you're a toy poodle. Here we go. They made very little out of the good, a whole lot out of the bad. They said it surely flows, but they made a little good out of that. Look at this one. Nevertheless, a lot of bad. What is an evil report? It is making very little out of the good and a lot out of the bad. You ever been guilty of that? I have. In somebody, maybe a person that you meet, a personality somebody you meet, and you can easily focus on the bad and make more out of that than on the good. Amen? I just think you do yourself better where you work, where you go to church, your friendships, where you live in your community. Instead of being a person known as a toy poodle who gives a bad report, be known as a bulldog for God who has the tenacity to press through and see the good. You listening? I know we got off. Got you upset. Here we go. Come on. Look at Caleb now. We finally get to meet this bulldog for God. So now the people have set the plate. The people are in an uproar. The people are scared to death now. And Caleb did what? Say it with me. One more time. Caleb did what? How does it feel when there's 10 of them and just 2 of you? You feel like that ain't good odds, is it, say? 10 are saying one thing and there's only 2 of y'all saying this over here. That don't feel good, does it? But Caleb did it anyway. He rose to the front. I can see him put his hands up and say, calm down. Hold the phone. Okay? Caleb, let's talk about him. Why did I call him a bulldog for God? Guess why? His name means what? Dog. Now, they called Gentiles dogs. It was a derogatory comment. But that was really not what his name meant. His name meant dogged. Can you say that with me? Dogged. Come on. Dogged. I want you to know Caleb's name. Come on. Dogged. Wouldn't it be nice if people thought of you and called you, that guy's dogged. It's a good word. That's a good term. Dogged. What does it mean? Pop it up. Determined. Persistent. Relentless. Now all of a sudden, that's a pretty nice name, isn't it? Call me dog any day. Amen? I want to be like that. I want to be a bulldog for God. I want to be dogged, determined, persistent, relentless. His name speaks of His Spirit. How do I know that? From the Bible. There's not a lot about this man. Numbers 14:24, the first part of that verse says, this is God talking, but my servant Caleb, say this part with me, because he had another with him and hath followed me fully. Why could Caleb stand like that? How could he steal the mob and the crowd after they'd given an evil report? How could he do it? Because he was a bulldog for God. He had another spirit in him. His spirit fully followed God. You want to be a bulldog? That's what it means. Fully follow God. I'm a bulldog for God. What? Fully following God. Fully. Is that a good thing for us, church? Yes or no? Fully follow God. That's a bulldog spirit. Fully following God. Say this with me. I want you to remember this and tuck it away in your noggin. A bulldog spirit is what? Fully following God. What if bad things happen? Fully follow God. What if good things happen? Fully follow God. What if I get a new boss? Fully follow God. What if things change? Fully follow God. Amen? That's what I do. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's this man Caleb. He's a mighty man of God. Caleb takes a stand. Say that word with me. After the bad news. Oh, we're all big and bad about taking a stand before there's any reason to take a stand. I stand. Amen. Heard a preacher the other night preaching. Don't know, he's sort of crazy half the time. However, he did say something. He said, it's funny, in churches we're always preaching about somebody that ain't there. Like the homosexuals over in California or something like that. He said, the church needs to preach to the people that are there. Hey, are y'all listening? I agree with that statement. We need to preach to the people that are here. We're the ones that are here. We're the ones that need to fix it. Amen? We're the ones that need the Spirit to have another spirit. So he takes a stand. We're all about taking stands against other people. Amen? How about take a stand for God and do the right thing in your life? Amen? It was hard for this man to take a stand after the bad news. He wasn't one of those, oh, I'll stand before the bad news. Oh, no. He got up when everybody's in an uproar and he raised up his hands. I can see it. He went, shh, hush. And he took a stand. And what he was standing for was going to be tough. They think they're going to lose their lives over it. Listen, Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He said, let us go at once. Let us go and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. What'd Caleb say? This is a good spirit. This is a good report. Say it with me. Let us go up at once. Come on. Let us possess the land. We are well able to do this. Say that with me. We will overcome. I like that guy, don't you? Say, wow. Dogged. Determined, persistent, relentless. How do you think God felt? Say, God said it was a land that with, you know, unbelievable fruit, flow with milk and honey. God said, you can do it. How do you think he must have felt when, even though the crowd was against him, there he was. There he was, standing for God. How do you think that must have made God feel? Say, it is so easy to quit. Any nut can quit. Did you know that? Say. Ben Franklin said this, any fool can criticize. He may have said this too, any nut can quit. Amen? Come on. Be strong. Caleb stood up. I wish they weren't around me anymore, but I got to go back to the 10 toy poodles. They won't go away. Here they are. Their bark gets what? Bigger and louder and more intense. I could just talk about this, but I got to quit. Amen. I'm telling you, don't you just hate that? Say, don't you feel that way sometimes? Like three of you or somebody in the room? How many have heard a lot of little dogs like that? And you can think a lot's going on, it ain't nothing. They stir up the people for what? Do you stir up people for failure, or do you stir up people for success? It It is a lot easier to stir people for failure. We're already bent sinners. We're already got problems in our life. It's easy to stir that pot and for people to just fail. But are you using your life, your words, to stir people for success? It's harder. You ever talk to somebody before and they're just down, they're negative, and you had to steal them? You had to, like, listen, we call it like this, just slap them upside the head. Shake them. Idiot. You can make it. You ever had to spend time with somebody and point out their blessings? Say. You ever had to do that? Say. Donna Christie, Alex's wife, he's our administrator. She said that she does that some, and her daughter, you know, she's grown over the years to now when her children do it, she points out to them their blessings and that each of them have good health. We love each other. What else do we need? And she said all of a sudden that cloud just lifts. But are you that kind of person that takes that kind of stand? Y'all hearing me? Caleb was. But you're always going to have this. So what'd they do? But the men, the 10 toy poodles, but the men that went up with him, that's 10 of them, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. What was their report? They said this. Say it with me. Don't go up. We are not able. We cannot possess it. We are not strong enough. You should never say that. You should never say you're not strong enough. You should never say you're not strong enough. If you've got an obstacle in your life, I'm not saying you're going to win every time, but you should not let come into your vocabulary, I'm not strong enough. I can't do this. I can't make this. Don't let that get in your head, man. Get it out of there. That's what being a bulldog for God is. They were toy poodles. Keep looking. God calls the toy poodle spirit, say it with me, evil. A lot of times in church, we can dress up, we can look nice, we can even read our Bible or have a Bible study in our home. But what we're doing with our mouth is evil. We are evil. We're giving evil reports. I don't care. You can dress a toy poodle up and you can paint his toenails. But at the end of the day, he's still a toy poodle, friend. Amen? Say, somebody listen to me. I know if you love poodles, you're never coming back. That's a bad attitude if that's how you're judging the preacher. Amen? Their bigger, louder, and more intense barking stirred up what? Fear! Do you use your voice to stir up fear in people? Or do you use your mouth and your words to encourage people and give them strength? Say, there's a lot here, isn't there? I'm all in this story. I'm sitting with the poodles one day, and I'm over the bulldog on another day. Don't think the preacher's got this down. I don't. But I know what I want to be. This kind of talk turns into a horror flick. Don't you see what they start saying? They're talking about how bad it is. Have you ever been talking and thinking about how bad something is and you made it worse than it ever really was ever going to be? Let me see your hands. Your mind. Oh, my God. Look at what happens. They bring up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, watch this, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants. Reminds me of Wizard of Oz or something. You're there and one of them trees grab you. You know what I'm saying? Come on! Wait, let me get it straight. If we go to the land, like there's going to be like a giant sinkhole or something, I think you got that coming in a minute. The people we saw in it are of great what? That's true. They did see the children of Anak, but they also saw other peoples all along the coast that were smaller than them. They were normal-sized people, but all their eyeballs could see was them giant Anakins. You know what I'm saying? So it turned into a horror flick. The land eats the inhabitants. Look, oh, you know? And here's the problem. God saw this as an evil report because they look through enemy eyes instead of the eyes of God. What do I mean? Pop it up. Here's what I mean. They said, we see them as giants. They see us as grasshoppers. Here's looking at yourself through enemy eyes. We see us like they see us. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself through enemy eyes? Or do you see yourself as God sees you? Are y'all listening to me or not? Did I lose you? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself through failure, through other people telling you you're a failure, through yourself telling you you're a failure, to this world telling you you're a failure? Or do you see yourself through God's eyes? I gave my son for you. I love you. I've empowered you with the Holy Spirit, the living God. How do you see yourself? It's evil to see yourself through enemy eyes. And I can preach this message because there's many times I look at myself through enemy eyes. And I get depressed and I struggle. And that's how I was seeing myself when I got out of bed this morning. Through enemy eyes. Thank God I met me some Calebs in a pickup truck. Amen? Come on. Keep looking. God was ticked at these people. They derailed God's plan. And I thought about when I wrote that line, can people really derail God's plan? And the answer is yes. God had a plan to give them that land and give it to them right now. But because of their evil report, they derailed God's plan. These people were not in any mood to fight now. The people lost hope. They lost courage. They cried out like whipped puppies because they'd been stirred up. All the congregation lifted up their voice. They cried. The people wept that night. All the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt. This is what an evil report will do to you. Or would God we had died in the wilderness. And whereof hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword? What kind of God is he? That our wives and our children should be eat up. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make us a captain. Let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. What are you doing? We're so close. Crazy, ain't it? We need a man. Where is a man? Oh, there he is. Caleb, where are you, Caleb? Verse 6, chapter 14. And Joshua the son of Nun, and say his name. And who? Caleb. Which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company, the children of Israel, he and Joshua. I'm focusing on Caleb today. And he said, the land which we passed through to search it, it's an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land. He will give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Wow. What did he say? The land's exceeding good. The Lord delight in us, he'll bring us into the land. He will give us this land. Don't rebel against the land. Don't fear the enemy. We will eat their lunch. They have no defense. The Lord is with us. Don't fear. Isn't that great? What happened? Look at it. I wish I could make the toy poodles go away. They won't. The toy poodle people's response. Here it is. The toy poodle people's response. Here's what toy poodles do after a while if they bark and yip and they fear, get people to start fearing. And here's what they do. They picked up stones. And they're going to kill Caleb and Joshua, Moses and Aaron. Well, I've learned it like this. They run their mouth in church, cause trouble in the church. And then they just leave the church for me to fix it. Weak, spineless, horrible human beings. Y'all listen to me or not? Be a man. This has been my life as a minister. It's an ugly message. It turned ugly, brother. You should have preached it, Bob. Brother Narnik, I'm telling you. Listen, that's what I'm talking. Listen, I'm just trying to tell you. What did they do? Toy poodles only did what they can do when it's all done. They picked up something and tried to throw it at somebody. End of the day, that's all that can happen. That's the story of an evil report. That's how far it goes. Okay? But here's the good news. Pop it up. God's response. Whoa, baby. Come on. There's a God in heaven. This is his plan. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Say this part with me. And the glory of the appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Y'all have had your day, little toy poodle people. And Caleb, I've let you do it about as long as you can on your own. Now I'm coming down. What happened? You need to read it sometime. Here's what God said. He said, all those men which have seen my glory, you saw my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and you've tempted me now these 10 times, and you've not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers. That's interesting. You tempted me these 10 times. He looked at every one of those toy poodles as individual temptations that came against him. Did y'all hear what I just said? Say. Every one of them. Well, they said it. Well, so-and-so said it. Well, here's what God does. You said it, and you alone are going to stand before me, and these people aren't going to be standing with you, and they're not going to be standing with you. You're going to stand before me. And you are going to be judged by me. Now, all of a sudden, I'm getting a little scared. Amen? Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. You thought you were just getting people to follow your little plan, your evil report. God says, no, you're provoking me personally. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, he hath followed me fully. Him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmurs against me? I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, says the Lord, as you've spoken in my ears, so I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and up, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into this land, concerning which I swear unto you that dwell therein, save, say it with me, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and who? Joshua, the son of Nun. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a what? Say it with me. God calls this what? Slander. When we focus more on the bad than the good, and we slant things towards the bad than the good, God calls that what? Slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, did what? Live still. I mean, it can get lonely being a bulldog. But you're living, baby. Amen? Come on. Keep looking. One thing I don't think we think about, and I saw it this week, Caleb suffered for 40 years because of the actions of others. Did Caleb do anything wrong when he tried to get to go ahead and do, let's do it? No, he didn't do a thing wrong. But he suffered because of the actions of others. You're going to suffer because of the actions of other people in your life. I wish it wasn't true. There's toy poodles everywhere. And it's going to cause you to suffer in your life at times. Caleb suffered 40 years by living in the wilderness, knowing it's right over there. We could have had it. I don't know what. I'd be killing one of these people every night. I would every night. I'd be finding me another one. I'm talking about my own people. You know what I'm saying? That would have been my attitude. He suffered. Yet he remained what? A bulldog for God. What did he do during this time? He did not blame God. He did not blame God. What would I have said? I stood for you and look what you did to me, God. That's what I would have said. He trusted God and he did what? He sucked it up. He sucked it up. He was strong. He had a steadfast commitment to God. And here's the last thing he did. He kept himself what? Fit for future what? I see Caleb every day. This is my mind. I see Caleb doing push-ups. I see him doing it. 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80, 85. I see him out there going up and down those hills. I see him. There's old Caleb. What's that old man doing? I don't know, but he's in good shape. You know what I'm saying? I see Caleb keeping himself fit, watching what he eats. Still being sure with his instruments of warfare. I see Caleb working and working and working all the time. Why? Because all these people, they're going to die anyway. You know, so Caleb, what an example. What a man. He's keeping himself fit. for future battle. He's a bulldog for God. He's an 85-year-old bulldog. Because after all this time passed, he was 85 when he finally got to go into the land. Watch it. Then the children of Judah came, now we're in the book of Joshua, unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto them, here's Caleb, you know the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am this day 85 years old. So here he's 85 years old. He's making his case for that piece of land right over there. He said, I am strong and I am ready. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Woo! Guy's in shape, ain't he? Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For thou heardest in that day how that the Anakims were there. Listen to this. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out even as the Lord said. Don't you know something? Caleb could have asked for any piece of that land he wanted. Guess which one he asked for? He wanted the piece of land where the who was. Where the giants were. I'm sorry. Where the giants were. I mean, 85, wouldn't you take like a little piece of waterfront property over here somewhere, maybe move to Florida, get a condo? No. My God said he would be with me. I want the land where the big boys live. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. I'm strong and I am ready. Keep looking. Say that with me. Come on. I ain't too... Come on, church, one more time. I ain't too old. I am praying. This is something I do on a regular basis. I pray for many of our older people here. I do. I'm going to tell you. I'm praying for you because you cut my hair. I don't want my barber to die. Amen? But I pray for you that God will extend your years as you serve Jesus Christ. I see our people here, especially our older people, as strong. They've stood with me, behind me, got me on this side, that side, back here, there, just around me. And I really appreciate it. And I pray for you that God will increase your years, give you this kind of strength that Caleb has. I ain't too old. How about this? God will get even greater glory. See, I think Caleb says that. Can I talk to you a minute? Some of you older people, raise your hand if you're listening. Come on, come on. There's four of you. Here we go. How many of you, be honest, you're serving the Lord more now and with more vigor than you've ever served Him in your whole life? Can I see your hand? Look at that right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's my prayer for you. That is my prayer for you, that you will serve Him. You'll experience greater things. He'll get more glory right now out of your life. Here's what Caleb said. He got a bumper sticker. Put it on his car, an 85-year-old whooped your giant tail. I can see him, T-shirt, 85-year-old whooped your giant tail. That's some glory for God, ain't it? He was a bulldog for God. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city in Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. So he drove them out of there. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir. And the name of Debir was before Kirjath-Sepher, whatever that is. And Caleb said, he that smites Kirjath-Sepher and takes it to him, I'm going to give Say that with me. Axi. I'm going to give Axi, my daughter, to wife. I'll be like, what's her name? And I'm, anyway, here we go. Whoever goes and whoops these folk right here, I'm going to give him her. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. His like his half-brother or something, took it. And he gave him Axi, his daughter, to wife. Okay? We're not done with Caleb. We're almost done. A bulldog for God. Here's the last thing. Caleb was a guy that went against the crowd. He lived in a culture where women were looked down on. But he had another spirit in him. Caleb had another spirit in him. And it was my wife that pointed this out to me in Scripture. She said, you ought to mention this and preach on this. Okay? She's always standing up for you ladies, all right? See there? Did you know religious Pharisees, people like that in the Old Testament, they would pray, Lord, thank you that I am not a Gentile. Thank you that I am not a sinner. Thank you that I am not a woman. Oh, yeah. Took 10 men to form a synagogue. Women, doesn't matter if they had like a gazillion women. If there's not 10 men, you're not having one. That's in Caleb's day. What'd Caleb do? Why don't you see something? He fully followed God. He gave his daughter an inheritance. Something you don't hear of in your Bible. Hardly at all. Even it was culturally unacceptable to do this. But you know, 85-year-old wear to whoop giant tail, so he can like, amen? So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, he took the land, and he gave him his daughter to be his wife. And it came to pass that his daughter came to Caleb, came to her father, and she was moved to ask her father for a field. And she got off her donkey. I'm having to change the whole Bible. I'm sorry. And Caleb said to her, what you want? And she answered, give me a blessing. You've given me, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also the springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Might just be a little thing in Caleb's life. But you know what? I don't care what you think about my daughter. I'm giving her that pretty spring over there. To a woman? Yep. Amen? Because he was a bulldog for God. Got it? Amen. We're done. Dogged. Determined. Persistent. Relentless. That's Caleb. He fully followed God because he saw himself through God's eyes, not the enemy's eyes. Would you read that with me? I know I rattled for a while. Say that. He fully followed God because he saw himself through God's eyes, not the enemy's eyes. One last time. He fully followed God because he saw himself through God's eyes, not the enemy's eyes. So next time you're feeling this pressure, I want you to have these two pictures in your mind. Am I going to be a toy poodle with pink toenails with a little flower on one of them? Or am I going to be a bulldog for God and be tough and strong and stand for Jesus Christ? Y'all listening? All right, even if you like toy poodles, it's okay. This is going to help you. Praise God. Caleb, a bulldog for God. Let's praise the Lord for his word this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good word.